This is the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! Welcome back, bro. Thank you for joining me on this new season of 2023. How you been, man? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, man. It's great to see your beautiful face, man. I love coming on the show and catching up with you, dude. So I hope things have been going well for you. I heard the first episode of season four and I lost my freaking mind. So I'm really happy about the announcement of the new addition to the family and everything, man.
Appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're having a baby boy, so that'll make it two boys. After that, like I was telling you off camera, closing down shop, snip, snip, just the whole nine, you know what I mean? Because we are done after this, but we're so excited for this new addition to our family. You're looking good, bro. I like the clean look, the mustache and the beard. What's up?
Yeah, man. I did have some massive sideburns too, but I had a shaving mishap just the other day, so they had to go. But yeah, man, I've been trying to look after myself. I'm still working on sobriety. You know, I've had a few slip-ups here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially living in Australia, like it's very much a drinking culture here. So
okay.
Come Christmas time, the family gets together, everybody's got a drink in their hand.
Okay. Is there like a legal drinking age in Australia or is it just kind of like a free for all?
Yeah, no, it's legal drinking age is 18.
Okay.
But even then, I mean, I started really drinking when I was 16 and I was going to the bottle shop by myself and buying my stuff by myself.
Gotcha.
And yeah, the day I turned 18, I asked them if they wanted to see my ID and they were confused. And they're like, what do you mean? We've been serving you for 2 years. I'm like, yeah, but I just turned 18 today. And so yeah, that didn't go down too well. But you know, with Christmas and New Year's, like, just alcohol is rampant. So I'm not the strongest of men. I caved, had a few drinks, so I'm back on sobriety as of New Year's.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, like it's a work in progress, you know, man. Looking after myself, trying to just be as healthy as I can for my family.
Yeah. So both you and I took a break from our respective podcast. So if you're accustomed to listening to the show, you recognize Nate's voice, you recognize the accent, you know he's from Australia, and you host the Not So Secret Dad's Business podcast. So you and I went on break kind of around the same time. I'm going to say what, like late October-ish or in October, November-ish?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I really enjoyed watching seeing your pictures with your son, Eli, online on Facebook that you've posted over the holidays, man. So talk to me about, aside from the sobriety stuff, how was that break been or how has it been for you? What was it like spending yet another holiday season with your son?
It was awesome, man. We actually went on our first family holiday together.
Oh, nice.
Just after New Year's, actually. And so we went down to Melbourne for 5 days.
Okay. And how far is that from where you are?
Oh, it's about an hour's flight and maybe a 12-hour drive.
Oh, okay.
At most.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just down in Victoria and in our neighboring state. So yeah, went down there for 5 days and man, just I'm a huge coffee buff. I love my coffee. And so going to Melbourne, man, it was great. I was drinking Primo coffee all week and stuff, but I mean, as an adult, that's the highlight for me, right? But we took Eli to, you know, to the aquarium. We went to the Sky Deck, so we were able to look over the whole city, see Marvel Stadium, the MCG, where all the major sporting events here, like the grand finals and all that, they're played there.
Okay, okay.
overlooked the whole city. Went to the museum. Eli loves his dinosaurs, so, you know, went and saw all the dinosaurs there. And they had a movie at the IMAX cinema there, so we went and watched that, all about dinosaurs in the Antarctic.
Okay.
And then one, I think possibly the highlight of the trip was we went to an art gallery, which was an immersive art gallery. So these paintings were painted across the floor and up the walls. So you could stand on the art, take a photo, and it looked like you were in the art piece.
I saw that picture. I think the one where he is standing in front of the grand piano and he looks like he's playing. And I think your wife is standing next to him watching him play.
That was a cool one as well, because edge of the piano is literally just painted onto the wall. So my wife is just standing there with an arm in the air like a chicken wing. And it's really funny. When you're there taking the photo, you don't see the effect, so you feel really ridiculous and you look ridiculous too. But then when you actually look at the photo itself, it's just phenomenal.
Ah, man, that sounds like a great time, dude.
Yeah, so it was really good. There was a lot of walking involved and whatnot. But I'll tell you what, man, COVID hit Melbourne hard.
Mm.
They're still recovering. The leader of Victoria, he had some really strict lockdown rules and everything for Victoria.
Okay.
So we got down there and it was a real shame. A lot of the smaller, you know, mum and pop type restaurants all boarded up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just all boarded up. And anything else that was really that we wanted to go to eat, they were closed for the holidays. They weren't opening till mid-January. And I'm like, man, like, this is Melbourne. It's the hospitality center of Australia, and everybody's closed.
So what'd you end up eating, like McDonald's and kind of, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, man, we ate quite a bit of McDonald's. but there was one burger place we found that was really, really, really good. And, like, the vibe, the aesthetic of the place was awesome. It was like walking back into the 90s.
Oh, sweet.
So it was just, like, 90s graffiti and artwork all over the walls. They had 90s shows on the TV, 90s music playing, you know, like all the good 90s hip-hop and all that.
So you felt like you were walking back in time a little bit. And Eli was probably like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, Dad, is this the music that you listened to in the 1900s? This is late 1900s stuff, isn't it, Dad? I'm like, yeah, it is, mate. Yeah, stop making me feel old.
I mean, damn, when you put it that way, Eli.
It makes it seem like it's from the Renaissance or something. That being said, though, the 90s, in a way, was its own Renaissance era. So
That is very, very, very true. So, dude, let's talk about where you are. Let's just catch up on where you are on, you know, along your fatherhood journey. So Eli is now what, six?
Six and a half, yeah.
Six and a half, right? So yeah, I think the first time you came on was like 2 years ago. I think. Yeah, and so he was around like four-ish,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you came on not too long ago last season. And so six and a half, bro. How has that been? What new changes have you noticed in just sort of how your relationship with your son has evolved?
It's evolving as I expected. It's just happening sooner than I expected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody tells you, and I know you've heard this yourself, everybody tells you, oh, you know, savor these moments when they're little because you never get them back.
And
I heard it so often it became like a cliche.
Okay.
And I was in the end like, yeah, okay, I know, whatever. Like, it's cool. Now I've got a 6.5-year-old that's learned of the concept of privacy, and he wants to have privacy. You know, close his door when he gets changed. He wants to shower by himself. He doesn't want mum to wash his hair anymore because she doesn't have the same parts as he does. And so he wants that privacy. And so dad's going to wash my hair now. And it's insane, man. Like, I didn't expect all these kinds of things to be popping up at 6.5. And now I'm going, man, I wish I could go back. I wish I could spend more time on the floor playing. I wish we had have gone out exploring more. Mm-hmm. I wish I had have just listened to those babbles and those you know, when they're learning to talk, they mm-hmm. they just string some syllables together that sound like a word, you know. And it's like, dude. But the big gut punch is when I put him to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
No longer allowed to give him a kiss on the lips. You know, Dad, I'm too old for that. Only kiss me on the cheek now. All right, buddy. So, I mean, not all, and I understand not all families are the same, but, you know, we're an affectionate family. We've always kissed on the lips, you know, so this is a real big change for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's now getting to this point of where he's finding his boundaries and he's setting his own boundaries
mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
which I applaud him for, because we've taught him from the day he was born that his body is his mm-hmm. and he doesn't have to hug or kiss anybody he doesn't want to. It's mm-hmm. his body and he can make that call. And so now he's taking the initiative to make that call and go, nah, kiss me on the cheek, Dad.
Let's put a name to some of the things that you're feeling. So let's try to identify what is it that you're feeling, or what are the feelings that you're feeling as he's telling you, Dad, no more kiss on the lips, or asking for privacy. What are some of those feelings that are attached to these moments?
Well, I mean, obviously it's mixed feelings, you know, like he's the one that came up with the idea of privacy, and that came together while we were on holiday, because we were all sharing the one hotel room.
Okay.
He decided to go into the bathroom to change and that sort of thing. And so he made that call. I was proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, you're understanding that people like their privacy, you're understanding these things. So, you know, I was proud. But on the same side, it's like I'm losing something.
Mm.
You know, I'm losing the little boy that I once had. You know, I had I went through the stage of losing the baby. I mm-hmm. went through the stage of losing the toddler. And now I've got this kid who's calling the shots for himself.
And
as proud as I am for him doing that, it's like, oh, like he doesn't need me as much anymore.
Hmm, yeah.
And I mean, like, he's still going to need me. He's
sure.
6 and a half. I get that. But now he needs me in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and so that part of my fatherhood journey is over. So it's bittersweet, man.
Is there another way that it could be framed so that it doesn't feel like a loss?
That I haven't really looked at. Like, I mean, I've been doing a lot of introspective.
Sure.
Work lately and really looking at my emotions and mm. my thought patterns and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
and recognizing those emotions for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's always a positive in something, right? I mean, a little off topic, we had Eli's biological father pop up last year for the first time in 4 years asking to meet Eli. Yeah, and that turned our lives upside down. And we ended up having to sit down with Eli and have that conversation that, hey, ooh. Look, daddy's not the daddy that made you, but, you know, he's the daddy that chose to be here and love you and that sort of thing. So
hold on. Wait a minute. You can't, bro, you can't just drop that and we not talk about it a little bit longer. Because I remember a conversation you and I were having on one of your appearances where we were kind of hypothesizing what that conversation would be like. But now what you're saying is that you actually had that conversation.
Yeah, we were forced into that one. Yeah.
My guy.
So that was interesting.
How did he take it? How did he take it?
He took it really, really, really well, surprisingly well. You know, it's there was so much going on, so my memory's a little spotty because, you know, when there's something so big, you know, it's like a blur. But, yeah, we just sat him down and said, hey, look, this is the deal. I'm not the daddy that made you. I met mum when you were already in her belly, you know, and I decided I loved mum and I was going to love you too. And I'm your dad, yes, but I'm not the daddy that made you. And so here's a photo of him and whatnot. Would you like to meet him? And he's like, no, I don't want to meet him. It's you're my dad, you know. And it was interesting. One day in the car, a couple of days after this conversation, he turned around to me and goes, Dad, I've decided I don't want two dads. I went, what do you mean? He goes, I don't want to know about him. Like, you're my dad. I'm like, okay, I understand that, but why is that? He goes, well, you're the dad that's here. You know, you're always looking after me. You love me. So you're the dad I want. I'm like, that's fine, man. I said, but, you know, that's your decision. And if you change your mind in the future, you know, that's fine. So we ended up reaching back out to old mate and said, hey, look, we don't feel that now is the time for you to meet him. It's, you know, he's decided that he doesn't want to meet you yet. He's not ready. We're willing to send you a couple of photos of him throughout his life thus far, so you can, you know, get an idea of who he is and what he likes and that sort of thing. But, yeah, and then radio silence since then. We got a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from him, but we haven't heard anything on that front at all from him yet.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's touchy for everyone, you know, but this is where I was saying, like, there's a positive in everything, right? Because at first I was a mess. I isolated myself from the family because I was trying to figure out suddenly where I was going to fit in. Was I going to be ousted? Was I going to, you know, was I no longer going to be dad and I was going to become a stepdad? And we, you know, we were talking to lawyers and child psychologists and all this sort of stuff. And the lawyer's appointment, man, that was a real kick in the guts as well, because she kept referring to the biological father as dad and me as stepdad. And I'm like, whoa, no, I'm his father.
Yeah. Goes,
but in the eyes of the law, and so we found out that if he does decide to become involved, that he can step back in and pick up his parental rights if he so chooses. But the positive thing that came out of all of this was that it made me realize I'd become complacent in my relationship and just going through the motions, you know. So it really put a rocket up my butt and I started seeing my relationship for what it really was, you know, and started making the effort on my part that, hey, I've got to be more intimate with my wife. I need to reform that connection because we were becoming like roommates, you know. We even got married and before we got married, we were having these issues. We just assumed it was the stress of planning weddings and all that sort of thing. But then once we're married and we realized that these issues were still there, I was like, man, you got to do something, mate. Otherwise, you're going to lose this woman. You're going to lose your family. So that's where I'm really grateful for him having popped up and going, hey, look, can I meet the kid? Because like I said, it really lit that fire within me to go, hey, look, I've got, it was almost primal. It's like, I've got to protect my family, you know? And so I started, really focusing on my intimacy and my connection with my wife. And now we're in possibly one of the best places we've been in our relationship. So it's great.
So somebody might hear this and say, man, that's awesome that you've taken that initiative as a result of that. A cynical person might say, why did it have to take that for you to come to that realization? How would you respond to that cynical perspective?
Well, when you're complacent, you've got blinders on, haven't you? You don't see things for what it really is. You're complacent. Like you're going through the motions, you know? So for me anyway, I just didn't see it it's like couldn't see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. I was too busy looking at what I was doing in the relationship, not what I wasn't doing.
Mm, say more about that.
So I was focusing on, oh, well, you know, I go to work, I provide, I'm coming home, I do the cooking, so I'm feeding my family. You know, I do everything I'm supposed to. I manage my son's little athletics group, so I'm actively involved in his life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing everything I should as a father, aren't I? As a husband. And it wasn't until I had that shake-up that I had to really take that step back and look at what I wasn't doing. Hmm. And what I wasn't doing was having that intimate time with my partner, just even just sitting on the couch together and watching TV. I was just disconnected. And when you're disconnected, you don't get a clear signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's almost like a telephone call. You can catch parts of the conversation if the signal's bad, but you don't get the full meaning of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what it was like when I was in this complacent sort of spot, was I was hearing the parts of the conversation that I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought I was doing everything, but there was all this other stuff that I was missing. Once that connection became clearer, mm-hmm. I saw what I wasn't doing. I saw what I was missing, and just started focusing on that. And that's led to me really being like super introspective and working on myself even further.
I appreciate this level of transparency and just allowing me and our listeners to get into something that is so personal, so intimate, and so recent and fresh, right? Like you're currently in this space right now. Let's spend a little bit of time talking about, for you, some of the things aside from not spending that intimate time with your wife. What other one or two items have you identified that has helped or that could help take your relationship with your wife, with your son even, to the next level?
Working on myself, man. That's a big one. It's really hard to be introspective.
Mm.
It's really hard to admit where your shortcomings are.
Mm-hmm.
Ego is a beautiful thing. Ego is like a mask. Now, when I'm talking about ego, I'm not using it in the traditional definition that people would use the word ego.
Sure.
I'm talking about ego being the sense of self, okay? That's how we view ourselves. And so we think we got it all down pat and we're killing it. Okay, that's great. But I'm sure there are things in your own life that you can improve to become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that be sobriety, for example, if you're an addict or an alcoholic or whatever. But this is not talking just substances either. It could be that you're addicted to your phone. You end up with scroll paralysis and you sit there on the couch just scrolling. Mm-hmm. You're not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an addiction to porn. And so then that is taking away from your intimate relationship with mm-hmm. your partner
mm-hmm.
because you're not really there in the moment when you are intimate. Or it may even just shut down your intimacy altogether.
Yeah.
You know, so another thing on that checklist is improving yourself. And I'm a huge proponent for self-improvement. And I didn't even think about it until I started Not So Secret Dad's Business.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking to personal development coaches and psychologists and therapists. And I'm going, wow. It was like they're shining, I'm shining a light. And they're holding up a mirror. That light's bouncing straight back at me, and I'm seeing all these shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm sort of disjointed here, but it's kind of like the oxygen mask situation on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it is with personal growth. In order to really improve or have a better foundation in your family, it's personal development, self-improvement. You know, if I'm a better person, if I'm feeling better about myself, I'm going to feel better about everything else around it.
Having this conversation with a group of dads, and someone made this point that I think it's a really strong point. When it comes to self-improvement, it seems as though, generally speaking, the individual is at a moment in their life where things are not as they want it to be, right? So it's a low moment. And at that moment, it's like, yeah, I need to do something to improve myself. The point that my buddy made was, what about those moments when we are feeling good about ourselves? What is the value of self-improvement during those moments? Wouldn't it make sense also for sort of like adapting a default of whether I'm at a low moment, whether I'm at a high moment, I can always build and improve on that moment where I'm at. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, man. And a big one I've learned about recently is gratitude, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're always grateful for things when things are going really well.
Facts.
When things are going good. You know, I'm grateful that I've got my family, this water park. We're having such a great time. We're connecting. That's awesome.
Great.
But again, it's like when Eli's biological father popped up. It was a real low point for me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I look back and I'm grateful because it reignited that passion in me to go, hey, look, my family, I've got to protect my family. Like, I feel like I'm about to lose something here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the moment, yeah, it was a low point, but now I'm grateful for it, you know. Whether it be the low points or the high points, like, you've just got to be grateful regardless. But there is always room to build.
There's always, right?
room to grow.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And that was such a helpful perspective for me to hear, because you're right. The default is, you know, when things are great, it's almost like, yo, when things are great, I don't feel like I really need to improve on anything right now because I can just maintain it where it is right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns into complacency.
And then it turns into complacency. And then whatever strong foundation I thought I was leaning on has been eroding this whole time.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then the slightest thing just comes to threaten it. And boom, it begins to crumble so fast that it leaves me wondering, how the hell did we get here so quickly, when I thought I was coasting this whole time. And I guess that's the point. This sense of things don't need to change. You know, the sense of, if it ain't broke, why fix it? And it's not necessarily a matter of it being broke and needing fixing, but if it's good, why not make it better? If it's better, why not make it even more better?
Yeah, look, you can have a beautiful single story home. But guess what? You put another floor on that, you've doubled the amount of space you've got.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've improved that house.
You've improved the house
before.
Absolutely.
But you've improved it.
Absolutely.
And so there's always room for improvement. And like I said, through that, I think gratitude is a big one. And that's where I come back to where we started off, was that with all these changes that Eli's going through, yeah, it's bittersweet. I feel like I'm losing something. But I'm grateful for it,
mm-hmm.
because he's growing into this young man that I'm extremely proud of.
And you're there to witness it.
Yeah, he's making some awesome decisions, man. For example, a big one he loves is Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say what you want. I mean, again, we're all different households. We all have different, you know, different parameters that we
absolutely
go by.
Yep.
So if you don't agree with me here, that's fine. I respect your opinion, but I allow my son to play Call of Duty because he's just fascinated by the military and former conflicts. And I mean, once we spent an hour in the bookshop just looking at World War II books, you know, like he's just fascinated by it. And recently he was playing Modern Warfare and there was a level where there were innocent people being killed in this particular level. And he's come to me and he's gone, hey, Dad, like this is what's happening. And I've had a look. So I've spoken to my wife and she's gone, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. And we sat down with him and last night and said, hey, can you bring us that game? We're going to be putting that one away. You can play the others, but that one is going away. And we explained to him, you've done nothing wrong, but we're extremely proud of you that you have come to us and said, hey, this is in the game and I think it's problematic. What do you think? And so, you know, that's where I'm extremely grateful. Like, yeah, I don't have the little smushy kid anymore, but I mean, I'm clearly doing something right because he's 6 and a half and he's making these decisions.
Man, you know? that is, it's both an ideal. At the same time, it's a reality. What I mean by that is I think every parent wants as an ideal a scenario where your child feels comfortable enough bringing to your attention or including you into major decisions that they're making. I think every parent who is a parent wants to say, you know what? Whatever it is I do is sort of geared towards that ideal. To keep it as just an ideal is cool, but how do you respond to it when that ideal is the reality that you find yourself in at the moment? And what you just shared is such a beautiful example of that. Here you are, you're feeling all of these things because your son is taking more of a, his individuality is stepping out a lot more. His independence is becoming more established, right? He has the mental capacity. His brain has been developed to the point where he is able to differentiate between what he wants and what he doesn't want at a deeper level. And so you're watching all of this happen. And the fruits of that are him saying, I'm going to ask for my privacy now. Mommy can't do this anymore. I'm sure she's dealing with what that means for her, right?
Yeah.
Daddy, I don't want you to kiss me on the lips anymore. And you're like, oh my God, my son is growing up way too fast. Simultaneously, he's playing this game and it's like, Dad, I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't feel comfortable with this. And he didn't go hide and, you know, try to do something about it himself. He invited you into his space to say, Dad, I don't feel comfortable with this, and respects the fact that you and your wife and him as a family made the decision, hey, buddy, we're going to put this one away. And it's like, well, there's the ideal actualized, like right here in this moment. Like, that's a beautiful thing, bro.
It is. It is, man. And like, that's why I say it's bittersweet. I feel like I'm losing that little boy of mine, but at the same time, he's just making me so proud. I mean, he's been asking a lot lately for us to give him a baby sister. Now, as you well know, I mean, we've got fertility issues in our family, and we've been trying for a while now to have a baby. And every time he brings it up, it shatters my wife's heart, you know? And so now we're at the point where we're having to have the sex talk with him and help him understand how babies are made, because he thinks that he was under the impression that he could ask for a baby sister and we could just get pregnant and give him one. And we're going, hey, look, buddy, like we really want to, but this is why we're struggling. This is how babies are made. This is what's going on with mum and dad. You know, it's just not working out properly. Then he's like, all right, I get that. Well, when I get a baby sister, do I get to feed her? And I'm like, well, that's not your responsibility. It's mum and dad's responsibility. Your responsibility is just to be a big brother.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but what if I want to feed the baby? Well, absolutely, if that's what you want to do. We're not going to stop you from doing that, but we're not going to expect you to do that.
To do that.
Yeah. Because then you end up parentizing your child, essentially. Like, you know, there's this, always the scenario of the oldest child always ends up taking care of the younger kids, and then mum and dad are able to do their own thing. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that. Your only job is to be a kid and be a big brother. You don't have to do anything else.
Man, that's the same message. That's the same message that I'm preaching to Juki right now as we are expecting, you know, his baby brother. He doesn't have to take any responsibility. And I even correct people who say to him, oh, so when your baby brother comes, you have to protect him. You have to do this. You have to do that. And I step in and I say, actually, he doesn't have to do anything. The only thing that he needs to do is love his baby brother and be the best big brother that he already is. All the other stuff, the protecting, the feeding, the this, the all of the other responsibilities and expectations, that's for me to do. That's for my wife to do. And of course, we want to help incorporate him in things so that he doesn't feel alienated. But for right now, at 2.5, when his brother is born, because his brother's going to be born sometime in between late February and early March, God willing, even though today at the appointment, his head is like down. So we're like, wait a minute. Do you have other plans, homie? But yeah, you know, when baby comes, we want to instill this sense in him that you don't have to be a grown up the moment your brother shows up. You don't have to be a parent. You don't have to do anything. You can still be a kid and love on your brother, and we'll create that safe space for the both of you to enjoy a full childhood as you're maturing into the phases of your life. And to me, that's a very important message to convey to him at this moment, because yeah, there is no because, just because. I think it's a very important message to convey to him at this moment.
And what I love though is the fact that at 6.5, he's wanting to step up and take that responsibility. He thinks that he's supposed to. He's just like, hey, look,
he wants
to have
a
baby. Can I do that? You know, all right, man. And so again, it's all part of this growing up thing that he's doing. You know, he's like you said, the individuality is finally starting to really come out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even his personality is just evolving at breakneck speeds, man. Like, legit is the latest word, right? That's the word of the hour at the moment. Oh, Dad, did you see that? That car legit crashed into the other car. Right. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. And, you know, again, because he's at school, he just finished kindergarten last year, so he's starting first grade this year.
Okay.
And so he comes home with random stuff that I haven't taught him. Mm-hmm. For example, one day I come home, I've picked him up from school on a Friday. I knock off work early on a Friday, so I get to pick him up from school on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting home and we're walking to the door and he goes, can I get a hooyah? And I'm like, what? Where did you... Are you for real, man? And I mean, we don't let this kid on the internet. He doesn't watch YouTube or anything like that. And I'm like, where did you get? Oh, the kids at school do it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Lord, I forgot about the other kids.
Yeah, bro. Yes.
I forgot about the other kids. But, you know, like it's just, I keep repeating myself, but it's bittersweet, man. There are things that you're like, you champion him and I'm like, yeah, go, son. And then there are other times you're just like, I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. I understand where you're coming from, but please don't.
Just please don't. Don't be that guy. My son, you know, he doesn't go to school yet, but he is often with his cousins. And my one nephew goes to daycare and my other nephew is in pre-K. And, you know, they just come, and when they all get together and they're playing, and he just ends up picking up all of the stuff that they say. And I'm just like, buddy. So his thing now is, ew, look at that booty. That booty stinky. Ew. So a couple of days ago, I am changing his pull up. And then he's like, ew, daddy, my penis stinky. Ooh, ew, look at your belly. It's, and I said, hey, buddy, listen, let's take a break from all of the stinky and all of the AU and all of that stuff, okay? Because you are not yet prepared to use that word, because you could really hurt somebody's feelings by pointing out something of theirs and then saying ew and then saying stinky. All right? So let's take a break from that. And then I can just tell that he doesn't see what I see, obviously, right? Mm. He doesn't have the scope of understanding that I have, obviously. But there's something in the way that he was looking at me that his mind was like, his wheels were turning. And in that moment, I think he made a determination, okay, I'm going to trust my dad on this one. And, you know, since that day, the level of ew and booty and stinky has like significantly decreased. Like he doesn't use those words anymore, because for the time being, something that I said to him clicked. For the time being, that's just not what we're gonna do. And so I remember saying to him, you know, there are other words that you have available that you know how to use. Let's use those words. But this one, you don't quite know how to use that word yet. So let's take a break from that one. All right. And then he was just like, okay, daddy. And that was that. But I'm not entirely where you are, but I think I'm at the beginning of this phase where you are right now, because even I'm starting to experience some of those moments of loss of something that I used to do with them. You know, every night, when I put him to sleep, I will, the last thing I'll say to him is, I love you, Captain. And he would say it, I love you, Captain. And that was the last thing that we would say to each other. And then he would go to sleep. Now I have to be like, oh, come on, dude, can you say it, please, so that I can feel better?
Yeah. Can you make me feel better? Yeah. It would really mean a lot to daddy if you did that. And they're like, nah, I'm not feeling it, man.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, last night I told him, I was like, I love you, Captain. And he was like, okay. I'm like, oh, dude, come on, can you just say it, please? And he was like, I love you, Captain. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
isn't it funny how we rely so emotionally on our kids as much as they do with us? It's phenomenal, man.
Man, this has been a really good conversation. As always, it's been a really rich conversation. These moments are never going to go away, I don't think. This sense of bittersweet, loss, transition. I mean, just throw it all in a blender. Like, that's basically what we've spoken about for the past hour. It's not going to go away. What are some things, what are one or two things that you're doing presently to help you cope through this moment of transition as it's happening?
I'm trying to be as accepting with it as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really hard to deny that it's happening. It's really easy to deny that it's happening. Mm. Like you look back at baby photos and stuff, and you're like, oh, I miss the little squish, or oh, I loved when he was cute and chubby and this, that, and the other. But you're not living in the moment. You're going back and going, I miss. And so what I'm trying to do is just live in the moment and go, yeah, okay, I miss these things, like, because he's growing up. But this is who I have in front of me now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so this is the child that I'm parenting now, not the three-year-old that was standing in the kitchen going, oh, Daddy, burgers! You know, he's now going, hey, Dad, can I help you cook?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, no, it's not what it used to be, but I'm accepting what it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? One day it's going to go from me being called Daddy to being called Dad, to being called Bruh, you know. So again, it's gonna change. I just have to accept that fact.
I don't know if I'm ready for the Bruh stage.
I'm hoping it's still another 10 years or so.
Because Juki already got to the Dad stage. I mean, like, presently, sometimes he's like, hey, Daddy, but other times it's like, Dad. Recently, his thing is you guys, and me and my wife were like, whoa, 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 hey, listen, bruh. we're not doing this, you guys. It's mom and dad. But yeah, I think what you say is very spot on. Recognizing what it was, appreciating what is, and just fully giving yourself into that moment, those moments.
Yep, just being grateful, man. That's all it is. Because, yeah, again, it's really easy to focus on the negative and really get yourself down in the dumps. But if you're grateful for what is in the moment, man, like, you're on cloud nine. It's as simple as that.
Brother, I can't thank you enough, man. It's always a good time catching up with you. It's always fun because, can you just tell our listeners what time, what date and time it is for you right now?
It's Saturday the 14th of January and it's currently 7:25 in the morning.
And on my side, it is Friday, January 13th and it is 3:24 p.m. my time. So it's always good talking to you from the future. It's nice that you like to engage with your past. So,
mate, that's the thing. You can't ignore the past. You can either run from it or live with it, you know?
Okay, Rafiki. Okay. Oh, man. Listen, dude, I appreciate you very much, brother. I hope you have a good rest of your Saturday. Looking forward to the next time you come on the pod. And so, let's just mention this for those of our listeners who may want to tune into your podcast. For the time being, you're going to extend your break.
Yeah, yep. I'm on extended break, just trying to focus on getting myself back into a position where I can serve to my fullest capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's the part that I wanted to make sure we said explicitly, and that you are on a bit of a break. But listen, completely support the reason why you're on the break, completely and behind you and your journey to get into a better headspace, completely supporting however long it takes, whether or not you decide to turn on the mic again is entirely a different thing. But what's important and what needs to be stated is that you are taking the proper steps to make sure that you are healthy in all aspects so that you can continue to be the great asset to your family that you are. So kudos to you for putting aside all sorts of potential detractors and distractions to really focus on yourself. And that is crucially, crucially, crucially important. So thank you for taking care of you, brother.